I am reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd, and gathers the lambs in his arms, and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm just going to pray for Mark before he starts to speak to us. Lord, thank you for Mark speaking from your word. Thank you that the word of the Lord stands forever. Well, we thank you for this word, and we pray that you would help us to hear it and to respond. In your name, amen.
Amen. Happy New Year, everyone. We've just celebrated Christmas, and I don't know what your favourite carols are. Perhaps you've stopped thinking about carols already. But one of my favourite carols is O Come, Emmanuel. And at Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus did come to be with us. And that name, Emmanuel, means God with us. As most of you know, we normally focus at church on expository Bible teaching. That is, we work through and teach and preach on books of the Bible, working our way through all that God has told us. But each January, we spend 4 weeks looking at a particular theme rather than at a particular book. And that is what we're starting today. And this year, our theme is God with us. So we're not looking at a particular book of the Bible. We're going to be spending 4 Sundays exploring what it means that God is with us. And we'll be looking at various passages over these weeks. Today, in this first sermon, we'll be setting out something that the Bible has to say about this, and in the coming 3 weeks, we will focus on applying it to different aspects of our lives. First, let us start by thinking about what God is like, what Jesus is like. We know a lot about what Jesus did when he lived in New Testament times, for the Gospels are full and truthful records about his actions. But what was Jesus like? What sort of person was he? What sort of person is he now? Well, we all carry an idea in our heads of what God is like. In fact, even before we were Christians or had thought much about God, we already had an idea of what God was like. For pretty much all of us, our usual starting point as children is to think that God is something like our natural parents, only more so. If your parents were warm and cuddly, then God is probably warm and cuddly too. If our parents were harsh and critical and quick to punish us when we did something wrong, then maybe God is harsh and critical and punishing too. Or maybe we hoped that he was not like that. But if we are Christians, I hope that you have recognized that God is not like our parents, even if they are very loving. And we probably know that God is too godlike for us to really understand him. So we rightly look to Jesus in order to know what God is like. But I wonder what your picture of Jesus is like and whether it matches the picture that is given in the Bible. Jesus has many names in the Bible used to describe him. We've already mentioned the name Emmanuel, and that name probably links to an image of a baby in a manger. Is that how you think of Jesus, as a baby in a manger? But there are many, many other names for Jesus in the Bible which conjure quite different images, and here are just a few. He's also called Almighty, Christ, King, Lamb, Redeemer, our Saviour, Shepherd, the Word. There are many, many more such names, and each tells us something true about who Jesus really is. Now I'm going to take just two of these names for Jesus and examine them more closely, and I'll explain why I picked these two names later. First, let us look together at Jesus the King. There's no need to look up this verse, but when the angel appeared to Mary to tell her, a virgin, that she was going to have a baby, we are told in Luke chapter 1 that the angel said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus, the baby who was to be born, was going to have a throne and be a king whose kingdom would never end. Well, what does a human king do, or ruler? They have great power and authority. They command and rule people and expect to be obeyed. And some kings wield the power of life and death over their subjects. A king is also someone awesome, even fearsome, and far above us, someone who lives in a palace, not someone who comes to my home. Maybe we can understand God and Jesus being a bit like that. God speaks and the whole universe comes into being. He says a word and Lazarus is raised from the dead, and he certainly holds our lives and our death in his hands. He is far above us and awesome in power and authority. In fact, in the book of Revelation in chapter 1, John describes a vision of Jesus, and he says he is dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. That's Jesus the King. Is that your picture of Jesus? Now let's take a second name for Jesus. Jesus often also described himself as a shepherd. In John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, what does a human shepherd do? We have a completely different picture in our mind when we think about shepherds. They use funny whistles to tell their sheepdogs how to round up the sheep. They guide and lead their sheep, and they take them to good pasture and feed them. They protect them and gather them together in safety. Well, Jesus told us what he does as the good shepherd. He leads us to quiet waters and good pastures. He goes looking for the one loved lost sheep. He holds us close and protects us from the attacks of wolves. He carries us and binds us up if we are wounded. He loves us so much that he chose to lay down his life for his sheep, that is, for you and for me. That's Jesus the shepherd. Is that your picture of Jesus? So here we've got two very different pictures of Jesus. One is awesome and far above us, and the other is nurturing, protective, comforting, close by. But here's the thing. I had been a Christian for over 30 years before I realized that these two names for Jesus are very often put side by side in the Bible. In fact, they are there together, a theme running right through the Old and New Testament. And while there are many names for Jesus in the Bible, these two names are usually put together, side by side. So far, I've found over 20 places in the Bible which put these two names together, and there are probably more that I haven't found yet. When this was pointed out to me, it began to transform how I thought of and related to Jesus. And I hope and pray that over the coming few weeks, as we think about this together, we may all learn more of who the biblical Jesus is. So now, please take up your Bibles. We're going to look up just a very few of these Bible references. Let's start in the Old Testament with the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And that's the story of the calling of David to be the king of Israel. You probably know that David is commonly seen as an Old Testament forerunner of Jesus. So what was David called to be? 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. So the Lord said to David, he was to shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. He was to be their king and a shepherd of the people. Well, is that just a curious fact about David? I don't think so. Let's turn back to the reading that we had read to us in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And it's a prophecy about the coming Messiah, who was to be Jesus. Turn up Isaiah 40 and we'll pick it up from near the end of verse 9, where it says, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So Isaiah's prophecy was that the coming Messiah, Jesus, was going to be a sovereign Lord, that means king, who was going to rule with a mighty arm and tend his flock like a shepherd, holding them close in his arms. The Messiah was going to be a king and a shepherd. Now, we've just celebrated Christmas and we're familiar with the story of Jesus' birth from nativity plays and from the Gospels. Have you ever wondered why kings and shepherds were the only people who showed up at the birth of Jesus? Why not fishermen, or tax collectors, or soldiers, or priests? Well, I admit I don't really understand whether the wise men or magi were really kings. But we know for sure that the angels appeared to shepherds, not anybody else, to shepherds, and told them to go to the manger. Why did the angels appear to shepherds? Is that just a coincidence they were the only ones awake that night? I don't think so. Does it tell us something about who this baby was going to be? Now let's look in Matthew chapter 2. This is still in the story of the birth of Jesus. And it's about the wise men. And when the wise men didn't go back, Herod asked the chief priests where the Messiah was to be born, and their answer is recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. In fact, they were quoting Micah chapter 5. Micah was another Old Testament prophet. So the Messiah, just born in Bethlehem, was to be a ruler, a king, and a shepherd. Jesus, who called himself the Good Shepherd, said again and again that he had come to bring in the kingdom of God. And in case you just think this was for his time on earth in the gospel period, let's look at Revelation, our last book we're going to look up, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, which tells us a vision about heaven. Revelation 7, 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Notice where the Lamb, that is Jesus, is sitting in heaven on a throne. In fact, he is the King of Kings, and he will be there and our shepherd. The roles of king and of shepherd come out again and again, side by side. Jesus was not to be just a king or just a shepherd. He is the shepherd king. Now, there is a danger in separating these two roles. Understanding the images, these images of Jesus separately as a king or as a shepherd is not too difficult. They're probably familiar pictures already. You can think of Jesus like a king. You can probably think of Jesus like a shepherd. But the difficulty comes in holding these two roles together, which is where the Bible puts them. I wonder what first comes to mind when you think of Jesus. Someone who is awesome Lord and King, far above us, in control of the universe, but is maybe distant, who also commands us to do things that often feel difficult or even impossible. If that is how you see Jesus, my friends, I want to gently say to you that that is not Jesus of the Bible. Or do you see Jesus as mainly someone who is a gentle shepherd, here to help and guide you, to feed you and look after you? And if so, to you, my friends, I also want to gently say that that is not the Jesus of the Bible either. But the problem is that these two roles do not sit comfortably together. They feel almost like opposites. National rulers around the world have power and authority. Many evil exercise their power of life and death over their subjects. But I don't know any of them personally, and none has been to my home, and I can't think of any of them who are like a shepherd. On the other hand, Tim, our minister, is like a shepherd of our church. He looks after us and feeds us with the good word of God week by week, and he knows something of our needs. I do know Tim, and he has been to my home often. And although he has a position of authority in a church, I don't think of Tim as my king or ruler, and I'm sure he wouldn't claim to be. These roles don't really sit easily together. However, in the light of the biblical thread, we are compelled to think of Jesus as both our king and our shepherd. These roles must go together. We cannot relate just to one or just to the other. The Bible puts them together. We must be very wary of the danger of separating the two roles or of emphasizing one over the other. So why does the Bible put these two roles together? Suppose with me for a moment. Let us just see what happens if we just see Jesus as our King and Lord. Soon we are likely to end up trying to obey the commands of this powerful ruler out of fear, in case he smites us. Or we may try to obey him in our own strength and try to please him by doing what he says. But then, my friends, we are not so very different from the people who perform a rain dance to please their deity, so he sends them rain. We cannot obey God and please God in our own strength. We need to know that Jesus is also the Good Shepherd who loves to be with us to lead, feed, protect and empower us to do his will. Suppose we just see Jesus as just our Good Shepherd. Then we will enjoy being in his presence. We'll look forward to his gentle touch and his feeding us in green pastures. We'll happily sing loving worship songs to him. And when we are in trouble, we'll cry out to him to protect us. But then we've slipped into thinking that Jesus is here to look after us and help us accomplish what we want. And we need to remember that Jesus is also the King who commands. And we are to serve and follow him wherever he leads. If you are struggling and afraid of God the King, then look again and see that the Good Shepherd is right here with you too. And if you're getting too cozy with the Good Shepherd, look again and see that your King, Jesus, is your Lord, and he calls you to follow him. You cannot have one without the other. There are other ways in which we can go wrong if we separate these roles. Just briefly, we might end up thinking that God the Father is the awesome God, while Jesus is the Good Shepherd and the Holy Spirit is just sent to be our helper. But if you explore right through the Shepherd King Bible references, you will come to see that God the Father is both Shepherd and King. Jesus is both Shepherd and King, and so is the Holy Spirit. So the overarching title of our series is God with Us. It's a simple phrase, but we will probably emphasize either the God part or the with us part. We may end up seeing a big, awesome God who is distant from us, ruling the universe. We may see a little God who is here with us, just here to help us. Neither is biblical. We started with a question. What is your picture of Jesus? The Bible tells us that he is the majestic, awesome, sovereign King who wants nothing more than to come, not just into your home, but if you will invite him right into your heart, because he loves you and me, limited and messed up as we are. The name Emmanuel tells us that God is with us. But Shepherd and King are not just two of the many names of Jesus plucked out at random. They are aspects of his character that the Bible puts together. They don't tell us everything about Jesus, but they do tell us that this King of the universe has the heart of a shepherd, and that this gentle, loving shepherd is rightly your King. That is why we must not separate these two names. That is what the biblical Jesus is like. Now, I've really come to an end, and we don't often give homework after a sermon. But here is some homework for this week. If you are a Christian but mainly think of Jesus as your Lord and King, then go and look up every passage you can find in the Bible which talks about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit as a shepherd, and see how his shepherd heart causes him to reach out to the sick, the desperate, the heavy laden, and how he loves to be with people, even sinners, like you and me, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to get to know Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Or, If you mainly think of Jesus as your tender, loving shepherd, go and look up every Bible passage you can find which talks about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit as Lord or ruler or sovereign or king. And see how he calls you to crown him king in your life through obedient submission to his will. Get to know the one who rightly deserves to be king and the Lord of your life. And if you are not yet a Christian, please know that Jesus is not like your parents, whatever they were like. And that if you will allow Jesus to be king of your life, you will also discover he is a gentle shepherd who longs to reach out and take you in his arms, for he has already laid down his life because he loves you that much, and he wants to lead you on the greatest journey of your life. I pray that as we explore this theme in more applied ways over the coming 3 weeks, that you will come to know more deeply the God of the Bible, who is Jesus, the Shepherd King. Amen.
Thank you very much for your preach this morning. We've got two questions in so far. First one from Chloe. Where in the Bible is the Holy Spirit described as King?
That's Chloe, thank you for your question. I was looking through lots of references about shepherds and kings, of course, for the, in preparation for this sermon. And there are many places where the forerunners of Jesus, prophets like Moses, David, are described as shepherd and king. And prophecies about Jesus being shepherd and king, there are lots of references to God being shepherd and king. I didn't find a reference specifically about the Holy Spirit, but we know that Jesus, we know that God is one. We know that the Bible tells us what God is like as shepherd and king, and Jesus as shepherd and king. He has showed us. Can we really imagine that the Holy Spirit is something quite different? I don't think so. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to be with us. In fact, we're going to explore that later in one of these sermons in this series in January. And what being close to the Holy Spirit, how he is like a shepherd. But I didn't find a specific Bible reference. Thank you. I still hope that we can see him rightly as both our King and our Shepherd.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Next one is from the Kangs. We are taught that Jesus holds the office of prophet, priest, and king. How does this fit with Jesus as shepherd?
Interesting. I don't know, except that the Bible says he is. Of course, there are many, many other words for Jesus. And I just quoted a few earlier, Savior, Redeemer, Judge, the Word. So prophet, yes. Offices, I don't know that I really understand them. Tim may be able to help more. Are those different kinds of titles for Jesus than all these other very many titles? I'm not sure. But I just know that if you follow through, that these two names for Jesus are put side by side. And I hadn't noticed that for 30 years of being a Christian. And you may be well ahead of me in knowing that right from the day you became a Christian, but I did not. And it transformed how I thought of Jesus. And I trust that we will get to know him as shepherd and king. How it fits with those other titles and all of the other many, many titles. I'm not saying that shepherd and king tell us everything about Jesus, but they go together.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I wonder if it's helpful to think, to remind ourselves that rather than seeing Jesus fulfilling human roles, we see that instead that the human roles point to who Jesus truly is. So it's the human side of things that's the shadow, and Jesus that's the reality, not the other way around there. So final question. I'm afraid I don't know who it's from because I haven't got their phone number in my phone book. But the question is our response to both shepherd and king the same, obedience and trusting in him, or do each have more to them?
Our response is the same, but it changes. You know, if we just think of Jesus as king, we can respond out of fear. And as he is shepherd too, he is shepherd king, our response need not be out of fear. Of course, we're human beings, and every time an angel shows up in the Bible, the very first thing they say is, do not be afraid, because they know that we are afraid. But Jesus is our shepherd, and so our response to the king can be in confident knowledge that he has our good at his in his heart. That is what he wants for us. He is not going to smite us or judge us harshly. He is a good and loving king. He does judge, but he judges out of love. All these other names need to be fitted in there too, but we cannot separate shepherd and king. They both come. You know, if we get too comfortable, too cozy, I'm not sure quite what the right word is, then we forget he is king. If we get too afraid of the king, then he is shepherd. We have to hold these two side by side, even though they don't fit easily.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. It's been really helpful. I remember, it's more of a comment than a question, but I remember talking to someone who said that they were comfortable with Jesus being their saviour, but didn't want him to be their Lord.
We can be comfortable with him being our Lord. That's his nature. He's the shepherd king.
Yes, thank you very much.